nai, na 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 na, oh nai, hey na 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 na, ah na 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 na, la ra nai, hey na 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 na, oh nai, oh na 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 na.
Hello, I'm Leonard Nimoy. If you're like me, now that the holidays are over, you're probably trying to get things back to normal. But even though things did get a bit hectic, I hope you remembered to answer your Christmas seal letter. If you've overlooked it, remember, the fight against emphysema, tuberculosis, and the growing pollution of the air we breathe, all of these must go on all year round. It's not too late to sit right down and answer your Christmas seal letter today. It's a matter of life and breath.
Skybird, this is Dropkick with a red dash alpha message in two parts. Break, break.
The countdown will begin this Sunday afternoon at 1, right here on the radio station you grew up with, Music Radio 138.
Oh, my God, what is that? Oh, my God, what is that? Yeah!
What's this? What's this? There's color everywhere. What's this? There's white things in the air. What's this? I can't believe my eyes. I must be dreaming. Wake up, Jack. This isn't fair. What's this? What's this? What's this? There's something very wrong. What's this? There's people singing songs. What's this? The streets are lined with little creatures laughing. Everybody seems so happy. Have I possibly gone daffy? What is this? What's this? The sights, the sounds, they're everywhere and all around. I've never felt so good before. This empty place inside of me is filling up. I simply cannot get enough. I want it, oh, I want it, oh, I want it for my own. I've got to know, I've got to know. It is this place that I have found. What is this?
Oh, my God. What is that?
You're listening to WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. Figured putting a little Technotronic in there. That was in the Kungan Earth we were talking about in the last few weeks. And Technotronic is great.
I still have not caught up with... I've seen one episode of Kungan Earth.
You've only seen one episode?
I've only seen one episode so far.
Oh, it's so good.
I've not had a chance to catch up with the rest.
Yeah.
I will get there. I plan to get there.
Very nice. Yeah, it's a great show.
It is. The one episode I saw, I loved, and I'm looking forward to it. But it's one of those, it's so dense that you've just got to sort of set aside time and say, I'm going to watch this, and, you know, you can't.
There's a lot of great historical information in there, too.
There is.
A lot of great comedy and a lot of great history.
But
it's really a great show.
It throws so much at you at once that you've got to watch it and then, like, take a break. And
yeah.
The taking a break part has been a challenge for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. So here we are at the end of March. All right, we have the Oscars have passed us by. Easter is on its way. St. Patrick's Day has passed us by. And the snow seems to be passing us by now. Finally, I think we're out of it. What do you think?
I'm on board with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a bad winter. I get the snow blower, of course, because I have a long driveway. And only use it a couple of times. I even shoveled once or twice because I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna just shovel it today because... because it wasn't too bad. But I think overall, last 2 years have been pretty reasonable winters for New England.
I think I used my snowblower twice this winter.
Yeah.
And I know I only used it once last winter, which means it's probably going to fall apart. We'll have a big storm in October, and it will just, you know, I'll go to turn it on, and it will just fall to pieces because it hasn't been used enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Your carburetor may be clogged. That's pretty much like the number one thing for a lawnmower or a small engine. Carburetor is going to be clogged. Use a 2/8 wrench.
I gotta get somebody.
That thing.
I gotta get somebody to tune it up. The problem is, like, all the guys that used to tune up snowblowers don't do it anymore.
No,
like, they all quit.
Yeah, they had to tune up themselves after drinking and smoking for years.
I guess, I don't know.
That's it. They're on the keto diet.
Try and find
keto and juice.
Try and find someone who can fix a snowblower for you. It's not it's not easy.
Pretty much, it's got to be a disposable snowblower at this point. It's like, forget it. It was a grand last year. It'll be a grand this year. Just put it by the curb. Somebody will take it.
But, I mean, that's a $1,000 that you're putting on the curb. We can't be doing that.
Yeah, but when it's broken, hell with it. Let somebody else fix it.
Yeah.
Just leave it.
Oh, get an electric one that doesn't work. I don't want an electric one that doesn't work.
I want to market disposable monuments before my life is through. I'm going to put a monument in every state. Chris's disposable monuments. A new disposable monument in every state, each of the 50.
It's just going to get ripped down by the next generation anyway.
Sure.
So why bother?
I mean, honestly, that MLK one in Boston, that should have been the first disposable monument. It's like, get rid of that. Let's put something new in for next year.
No,
sure, put in a nice bust.
That's enough
with these penises and arms or whatever it is.
That's a beautiful tribute to anatomy.
It's like a pretzel. It's a penis pretzel arm display, whatever it is.
It's a beautiful tribute to anatomy.
It's a big black pretzel.
You get to decide which anatomy. Which is nice. You know, that's a nice thing about art.
No. That thing was just ugly. I like a nice bust with my art.
I welcome our giant penis statue and the many titters it will bring.
I got to throw a little shaft in the background there. That first one was the University of Southern California marching band doing the theme from Shaft. It was a strong start to the show. And Fats Domino at the very beginning with a whole lot of loving, and he starts like making kissy sounds, which I thought was kind of fun. I don't think you can get away with that now. Fats Domino coming up to you making kissy sounds.
Some of those college band records from the 70s are outstanding.
I did a Under 2 show, which was fun, like under 2 minute songs, and most of them, of course, are from like the 50s.
Yeah.
You know, like the 50s, those early rock and rollers.
That's how long they were. You had to get like 50 minutes of commercials into every hour of radio.
How much, you'd probably know this, how much could you actually fit? I know like a compact disc you'd fit, it was like 74 minutes and then it went to 77 minutes or something like that, maxing out. What could you actually fit on a 45 back in the day?
You could get...
probably get a good 20 minutes. It depends on the speed that it was played, right?
No, a 45 at 45, I think capped out somewhere around 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
You couldn't do much more than that.
Yeah. But like even those early platters that were 78 speeds, those were, you could probably only fit about 10 minutes on each side, right?
Those will hold, I think the longest one I've ever seen has been 12 minutes.
It was funny because like a lot of those older 45s too, it would be a single. And then they would fade out, or it would just stop. Like the song would just stop, and then they'd start it again on the other side.
Yeah,
almost like the old 8-tracks, like in the 60s or 70s, you've had an 8-track tape, and then there would just be this ka-chunk, like in the middle of the song. You'd be like, "Don't go changing to try and ka-chunk, please me." It's like, what just happened?
Press the button.
Yeah.
Press the button.
Because there just was only 15 minutes for each side on an 8-track. That's what I remember.
Yeah.
So you could only have under a 60-minute album. And as soon as that 15 minutes was up, the radio, the record companies were so cheap, they were like, just chunk right over. I remember my stepfather had all these Billy Joel records on 8-track. I guess they'd call them records on 8-track, right? Or recordings on 8-track.
Yeah.
And he had this big caddy when he started going out with my mother, and we would ride around in this caddy listening to Billy Joel. And I thought it was so badass. And then when it ka-chunked out, I was just like, oh, man. I'm like, that was so uncool. And some of them would just fade out. He had, like, the Grease soundtrack, and that would just, like, fade out. It's like, we go together.
Some artists actually did things with that. Pink Floyd's Animals.
Yes. Great
which
album.
Is meant to be listened to as a single continuous experience. On the 8-track version, because they wound up with extra time on one of the tracks,
yes,
they brought in Snowy White and recorded an additional guitar section just to fill up that moment before it got to the ka-chunk.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard that Roger Waters redid Dark Side of the Moon is coming out.
Really?
Yeah. He showed, what's his name there? The only other guy that's alive. It's not Robert Wright.
It's David Gilmour.
It's not David Gilmour. No, he didn't show it to David Gilmour. He showed it to the other guy. The one guy that's
still alive.
Nick Mason. Yeah, he showed it. He showed it to him. And Nick Mason said, it's amazing. It sounds totally different than what we did. I'm like, yeah, no, it doesn't.
Why did you do that, then?
Yeah, no kidding.
What's wrong with the original?
I hate it when people... Well, we talked about U2 a little bit last week.
You weren't in,
but like U2 redoing 40 of their songs. And pretty much 30 out of 40 are pretty crappy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they all sound tired and bored and medicated. And like, what are you doing? It's just, you know, you're just doing it for Larry, who's out with a shoulder injury. He just needs some money. You know, they just went into the studio. They should have just called it Cash for Larry album.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I don't get it, because when you are a middle-aged multi-millionaire.
Right.
You are not going to bring the same passion and energy and angst to your music that you did when you were in your 20s.
Not at all.
And playing music to eat.
Oh, my God. And some of them are just embarrassing. Like the Desire remake. Oh, my God. The Desire remake is like him talking in falsetto. It's like, what is this?
Yeah.
It's awful. Awful, awful, awful. But
the Beatles were the first ones to do that.
What did they remake?
They put out that album of their top hits that had all been remixed and re-edited.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Number one.
They were on like Capitol Records or something. Okay, number ones.
Yeah.
But they didn't... Those were remixed from the originals.
But they were heavily messed around with.
That's the Love album.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty good, actually. It was pretty wild.
No,
some of it was amazing. The rest of it was kind of, But that was part of a show. That was part of the Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah.
The love show. So that was specifically made for that.
But they also remixed stuff on number ones. And why?
Yeah.
What's wrong with the original recording?
I mean,
I can see if the only version available of the recording is mono.
Right.
And you're going to do a stereo mix, that's okay. But they did all those stereo mixes back in the 60s.
It's U2 karaokeing themselves.
Leave it alone.
It's bizarre.
Yeah. Leave it the heck alone and give me what I'm used to.
Mm.
I don't need a new version because you feel like trying to make more money.
There are some great songs remade, but not many.
Yeah.
And what was nice is I bought it on iTunes. It was $20. It was supposed to be like $40, $50 in the studio. People paying like $100 for like a green vinyl right out of Boston. I'm like, yeah, forget it. I don't understand this vinyl craze. Is it over yet?
No.
When is it going to be over?
Vinyl actually eclipsed CDs in sales.
Really? Oh, yeah. Recently, last couple of years. Right?
For the first time since 1987.
Well, you go into like a Newbury Comics, there's no CDs. There's a section of about maybe 200-300 CDs just sitting there.
Why are you buying...
Like, this is what we used to sell.
Yeah, why are you buying CDs when you download all that stuff from Apple?
Yeah, you can.
You know.
Well, this is going back to my Apple iTunes thing. So I didn't get like three of the songs for the first time. I'm like, I had trouble with the download. I'm like, what's going on with this? And I sent a message in and they're like, we're going to give it to you for free.
Nice.
I'm like, that's nice.
Wow.
I'm like, that's pretty much what the songs were worth. So
yeah.
Worked out okay.
So it's not like the last time where you got it for free whether you wanted it or not.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was two times ago. They did two albums since then. But
songs
that was
of innocence.
They realized that was a bad move. It would have been good if they had announced it first. And the thing was is they didn't announce it first. And I think that's what everybody had a problem with. But they also, the big nail in the coffin, or one of the nails in the coffin for U2 that round was, people don't really notice who we are anymore. I think when they realized they weren't as relevant to the under 30 crowd, they had a problem, you know. I got quite a few fun little things today. Did you pick out like a fun what is this tune or two?
I got a couple of
couple of
really fun things and one thing that we must play today.
Sure.
So
yeah. You want to play it now?
Yeah, we can play it now.
Sure. I'll listen to it and then we'll come back and we'll have some serious explanation to this odd piece of audio.
Absolutely.
This is What Is This on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. My name is Chris Earle and my co-host is Derek Gary. We are here with you until 7 p.m. I do have to set you up on, what are you on, Aux 2?
I think I'm on 1. No, 2. It's 2.
You are on two. Yep. All right, let me switch you over to two.
Brilliant.
And we will get you going, and we will get everybody else going. We have some fun stuff for you here today. Welcome to the End of March show. It's episode 8 here of What Is This? And Derek has you lined up with some fun audio. Here you go.
Boys and girls, moms and dads, brothers and sisters, cats and dogs, welcome to the world of strawberry shortcake.
Who sleeps all night in a cake made of strawberry? Wakes up bright in a cake made of strawberry. Living right in a cake made of strawberry.
Strawberry shortcake.
Wouldn't you know? Who sweeps her floors in a cake made of strawberry? Plays outdoors of a cake made of strawberry. Games and chores in a cake made of strawberry. Wouldn't you know, it's love that makes their garden grow. With lots of pretty berries in a row, she greets each day with a berry glow.
She's strawberry shortcake.
Wouldn't you know, what's it like to stay in a cake made of strawberry? Work and play in a cake made of strawberry. Learn the way of little Miss Strawberry.
Strawberry shortcake.
And you will know.
Happy birthday to Strawberry Shortcake, who turned 46.
Jeez.
Yesterday, 40 years ago on March 28th.
Did we ever determine if the drapes matched the curtains?
I don't know. That special aired for the very first time.
Strawberry Shortcake. So it was a special.
Yes.
So she was already a doll.
Well, this is the progression of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
The character was created in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
By a design company. And American Greetings picked it up.
Yeah.
And subsequently sold the rights to Kenner, who unveiled the toys at Toy Fair in 1980 in January.
Yeah.
The special had been developed with the idea that the toys are coming out and the greeting cards are coming out and all this stuff is coming out.
Yeah.
So they made the special. They pitched it to the networks. And the networks said, this is a program-length commercial. We're not going to run it. So
right.
They turned around and sold it to a couple of UHF stations.
Interesting.
And it blew up from there. Now,
wow.
The interesting thing about the music for that is those are a couple of founding members of the Turtles and Frank Zappa's backup band,
wow.
The Mothers of Invention.
No kidding.
That's Flo and Eddie, who had worked previously with
Two of the Mothers.
Yeah, two of the Mothers.
Yep.
They had worked on the animation for 200 Hotels. With the guys that made Strawberry Shortcake.
Yeah.
And so they hired them. They wrote all the music for Strawberry Shortcake.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder what Frank had to say about that. What do you think Frank Zappa had to say about that?
I think Frank, you know, other
think
than
he was
the,
a Strawberry Shortcake fan?
Other than the commercial intent side of things, I like to think that Frank would have been very on board with Strawberry Shortcake.
Mm-hmm.
Wholesome, good values.
Oh, this I heard on my call today with work. One of my buddies is, he's not my buddy, but one of my co-workers is in Washington, D.C., and the cherry blossoms have blossomed.
Nice.
They are opening up. If you've never been to Washington, D.C. during cherry blossom time, it's amazing. Everything's pink around you. There's some great museums down there, and everything's free. Your tax dollars pay for them. So you can go in, you can sit on a $1 million. I was telling you before, you can go into the engraving museum, sit on $1 million. You can go back to the Holocaust Museum and go through what people went through years ago. They'll give you a little ID card and you get to go through the whole Holocaust experience if you're into that. There's also the American Museum and the American Natural History Museum and the Air and Space Museum, one of my favorites.
Go out in the grass and make cherry blossom angels.
Yeah, you can go out in the grass. You can make cherry blossom angels.
You can make cherry blossom angels.
That's Chinatown's great food down there.
That's how thick they are at this time of year.
Yeah, yeah. Last time I was down there was great. I did a little stand-up, and I went and saw Louis C.K. afterwards. I was the other Louis, the angry Louis, Louis Black.
Louis Black.
Yeah.
Louis Black.
Louis Black was there. That was quite a few years ago now. Probably about, how old's my car? 6 years ago. But that was a fun trip, and always fun to go down to Washington, D.C. I stay at the Hotel Harrington down there. It's a dumpy little hotel, but it's relatively cheap, and you can get a good night's sleep, and and get your ass out the door to go see some presidential portraits or whatever you want to do.
I remember having a fabulous breakfast at the Holiday Inn somewhere near D.C., somewhere in Lafayette Square was where it was.
Yeah.
And good. It was really, really excellent breakfast.
There's some good places down there. There's some good places. You can go to the Spy Museum was a new one. That one was kind of neat the last round. And that's right across the street. You can see where Lincoln was laid up before he passed away.
I'd like to see that Spy Museum. I've seen highlights of it on TV, and it's interesting stuff.
Yeah, pretty neat. But D.C., I don't think D.C. really gets a good... I don't think it really gets a... doesn't get enough... publicity.
The problem.
Places
with,
to go.
There are two problems with DC. Number one,
crime.
Well, no, not crime per se.
Yeah,
but I mean that's
a good amount of crime.
Crime's a problem in any city that you go to now.
True.
Boston's got a crime problem.
True.
Problem number one: the Metro is a brilliant subway system, but it doesn't take you anywhere you want to go.
Yeah,
it lets you off in every single bad neighborhood in the city. And doesn't put you near anything you actually want to go to.
You have to do a lot of walking.
Yeah.
If you go, you have to do a lot of walking. And if you are handicapped, there are quite a few places you can park. But, yeah, if you're not handicapped and you're just kind of fat and lazy, or you just don't want to walk anywhere, it's not a great place to go.
DC is not for you.
Yeah.
The other problem with it is, at 6 o'clock, they roll up the sidewalks.
Oh,
and DC is closed.
That's right. That's
there is
right.
Nothing
that's
to
that's
do.
The government in work. And of course, the Black History Museum is there.
Yeah.
And being white, I couldn't get in. It was the opening, and like we couldn't get in. It was like it was going around like down the streets, and couldn't get in.
They wouldn't even let you use the water fountain.
That's the way it was. That was the way it was when it had opened up, and it's a great city. It's a great city, great museums. It's worth going.
It's an interesting city because the entire city itself is a museum.
The White House could be my first of the disposable monuments, a blow-up version of that. Just put it on a different lawn down in D.C. and say, like, this is White House 2.
Yeah.
This is going to be the White House 2. There's White House red and White House blue, if those colors even mean anything anymore. Yeah. But, great place to go. I'm looking forward to going on a little vacation. I don't know what I'm going to do next, but I'm thinking somewhere cold, actually. I'm thinking Iceland. I'm thinking Alaska. You ever been to either one of those?
I have not.
That's about it, you know?
I have, however, heard amazing things about Iceland.
Yeah, me too.
Back in the 90s, you could get trips to Iceland super cheap.
Yeah.
And every weekend, like, young people were, like, hopping on planes and going to Iceland.
Yeah.
And having a great time.
And it's a stopping point to get to, Ireland or London or whatever. So a lot of places, a lot of times they would make some deals so people could stay overnight there.
Yeah. But the whole thing about it is you can fly to Iceland in, like, 2 hours from Boston.
Right.
And because you're American, you're exotic in Iceland.
Yeah.
And, like, guys were going over there, and they were like, the girls are all over us. We just go and get drunk every weekend.
Exotic.
And have a great time.
It's exotic. It's like, exotic. What's that? I'm like, it's a freckle.
Yeah.
It's a freckle. I'm from Boston.
It's like, you go to Canada, and they're like, oh, Americans, get out. Leave, please.
That's true. It's nice to go to a country that actually enjoys Americans.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen very much anymore.
Canada does not, especially Quebec province.
Yeah, nobody's really happy to see an American anymore.
Nobody's really happy in Quebec province because they're all French.
Yeah.
You know,
plus,
I mean,
plus it's chilly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they all speak French, too.
I still love going up there.
I've never been, city. I don't think. I've
Montreal?
Been to Montreal.
Montreal's awesome.
I haven't been to, I'm thinking of, what's the island that's near Maine? You can go across the way.
Is that Presque Isle?
Something like that, yeah, yeah.
I think that's Presque Isle, Presque.
Could be.
I know that's way, way up at the top of the state.
Mm-hmm.
Quebec City's awesome, too.
Yeah. I don't know. People told me go to Toronto, too. Everyone says Toronto's a great place to go.
I haven't been to Toronto since the 80s, so I can tell you that when I went in the 80s, Toronto was awesome. And it was like this super, super modern city. 40 years on, a lot of that stuff that was super modern in the 80s now just looks kind of cringy.
I'll tell you, it takes a lot to get me out now. It's like just once a week, just getting in here is tough.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, I gotta get to Medford.
Well, what are you doing? I mean, you're sitting around the house, you gotta get off that.
it's just life. It's just life, man. It's a half a century of life dragging me down.
No,
I'm just like, I've already done it all.
No.
There's not much more I want to do.
Well,
want to go to Iceland. That's about it. In Alaska.
There's got
to
be something you still want to do.
I want to take some ice cubes off a glacier and put them in a martini. That's what I want to do.
That's something. That's something right there.
I was telling you about that with the Gordon Ramsay show.
Yeah.
Man, that was great.
Yeah.
I'm like, that looks like it's the most delicious drink ever.
Yeah. Get me some nice rare scotch and glacial ice, and yeah. I'm happy.
I kind of want to eat all around the world because I know there's some food that I haven't discovered that I'm going to enjoy. There's got to be something out there because... At this point, you know, I was looking through, you know, going on diets or whatever, you tend to write down a little more about what you're eating, but I've been trying to do a 2,000 calorie, and I'm writing down all the stuff I'm eating, and it's a lot of the same things, you know. I'm doing pretty good in the mornings. Sometimes I'll write down, you know, one oatmeal and one egg, or I'll have, like, two oatmeals, or maybe if I'm getting a little crazy, two yogurts,
wow.
or a yogurt and an oatmeal. So I try to do about a 300-calorie breakfast.
You can put the oatmeal in the yogurt.
Yeah, I've done that. I've had a little cereal. Cereal's kind of like air. I was talking to some nutritionists. It's like, yeah, it's like eating nothing. I'm like, well, obviously I've been eating a lot because I'm overweight, so I can use a little air for a little while. It's like, it's the only thing. Your body doesn't run the same way when you get middle age.
Well, you get a 3-year-old, and that'll take care of that.
Yeah. Well, he'll make you run. I think the thing is you're so active running around, you know, trying to, you know, cut the 3-year-old off at the pass.
Yeah.
Your body just has to do it.
I run.
You know, you don't feel those creaks because your mind is like, oh my God, I got to get him.
Yeah.
And my weekends, like, mine is like, oh my God, every creak.
My weekends are me running around saying, no, 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 don't touch that. Don't touch that. No, don't touch that. No.
Yeah.
I had a big dad failure.
Oh
on
no.
Sunday.
What happened?
Huge dad failure. So we're at our friend's house up the street.
Yeah.
They've got 4 kids. One of them's like 6 months old. The older kids are, I want to say, 8, 5, and 3. So one of them's around Bobby's age.
Yeah.
And he and Bobby love each other.
Yeah.
And I'm pushing the 3-year-old on the swing.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
And the 8-year-old is riding on a swing next to me.
Sure.
And Bobby comes over. And instead of going into protective mode and stopping Bobby, I'm focused on pushing the 3-year-old.
Yeah.
And the 8-year-old plows right into Bobby.
Oh, no.
Hits him in the face with his foot. And Bobby immediately gets knocked off of his feet and starts wailing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, he's fine. And it's like, the 8-year-old feels bad. His father feels bad. And I'm like...
I feel bad.
And I'm like, that's on me. That's my fault for not rescuing my child from that situation.
Here's the solution. Ice cream.
I could see it happening for those split seconds before it did.
Yep.
And I was like... This ends badly.
Yeah, you got to put a distraction in there almost immediately, like ice cream or some candy.
Yeah, we gave him some food.
Pizza.
He's fine. It happens, you know?
Yeah.
Kids get knocked around, and that's it's part
but
of
But were
play.
You, like, pushing the 8-year-old on the swing?
No, I'm pushing the 3-year-old on the swing.
Oh, all right,
swing.
I was going
to
say.
The 8-year-old's riding on a swing next to me.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say, because the 8-year-old's got some heft to him.
Yeah.
Because he's got to be at least, what, like 60, 70 pounds at that point, right?
He's a big kid, too.
Yeah.
His dad used to play football.
Oh, geez.
So he's a big kid.
He's got a lot of shoulder to him.
Yeah. Yeah, he could take me down if he wanted to.
Oh, my God. And every kid's gotten hit by a foot on a swing. If you've been on a playground, you've been hit.
Because
it's like you're running by your friends or whatever, and it's like you're going to try to beat the foot.
This was the full-on, like, end of the swing run. Boom, right into Bobby's face.
Did he catch air?
I don't think he caught air, but he went back.
How's he doing? Did he get a bruise?
He's fine. No, he got a little scrape on his face. It's like, he's fine,
you
know?
Yeah.
And it's like, this is the kid... My son loves nothing more than for me to pick him up and throw him across the room onto the couch.
Sure, that's fun.
He loves it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I
who doesn't
throw him
like
around,
to be?
I
when you're a kid, thrown in the air, thrown on the couch.
He lives for that.
Anything in the air is good when you're a kid.
He'd have me do it all day if he could.
Yeah, my niece was throwing her in the air, and she kept, again, that was her thing, again, and I'm like, I just slipped the disc, I gotta put you down.
Exactly.
It's like, I gotta put you down.
Exactly. I might wind up in Lowell General if I'm not careful about it.
Yeah. Yeah, in the background we get a little ambiance, a little spring ambiance. I've got some fun stuff that I found on Beware the Blog. We talked about that on WFMU's Beware the Blog. They put some odd audio every day, and then somebody would blog about it and talk about it, and I know you were part of that as well.
I'll call you out if you play any of my stuff. So.
No, I don't have any of that today. I'll let you play that if you choose to in the future, but I've been finding some pretty cool stuff here. I found one. Like the old classics, you know, this being a collector as well of audio and also just collectibles. going to like a thrift store and finding a box of film strips, and it's like, what's in here?
Yep.
And this one is from Scholastic. Unfortunately, I don't have the video that's involved with it.
Don't need it.
But the audio is amazing. It's really cool. This is set for kids. And usually if you had a substitute teacher at school and you saw that old 16-millimeter projector come out in film class, everybody's like, nice, we have a substitute today. You know, you can either, you know, get a hall pass and then not come back, or you could sit there and sleep, or sometimes actually listen and watch the show. And some of them were pretty good. This one is about being scared, which I think is pretty much up everybody's alley when you're a kid. Eventually, you're afraid of something, and this talks about what it's like to be afraid. So this is from Scholastic, and this is Who's Afraid here on What Is This? We'll talk about this after you listen to the clip. Thanks for listening to your freeform station, WMFO in Medford.
Have you ever been afraid? Everybody is afraid of something. Even very brave people. Are you afraid of things that crawl? Are you afraid of some dogs? Are some dogs afraid of you? What about a pig? Were you ever afraid of the dark? Can the dark hurt you? Are you afraid of the things you don't know about? Of what you can't see and what you think is hiding there? Do monsters seem to crawl from out of the dark shadows? When the lights go on, are you still afraid? Can the dark really hurt you? Did you ever climb so high that you were too scared to come down? Or go so fast that you couldn't catch your breath? Were you ever all alone in a room when it was very still? Did you think you heard weird sounds? Were the sounds you heard really there? When another person came into the room, did the sounds disappear? Are there some things everyone ought to be afraid of? Do sudden sounds scare you? Did you ever watch the coming of a storm? The fog that creeps in over the land? and swirling birds that cross the sky. Did you ever listen to the whirling waves that crash against rock and sand? Was the storm exciting or frightening? Did you ever get lost? Does being afraid help you to look where you're going? Were you ever late for school? Did being afraid make you hurry? Do people you don't know sometimes frighten you? If you got to know them, would you be less afraid? Does everyone have a little fear inside when they don't know what to do? Or when things are strange and new? Does asking help? And smiling help? To melt away the fear.
Sounds of Norway in the background, Derek.
Nice. I believe by the end of that film strip, every child in the classroom was in tears.
Yeah, they're afraid. They're Who's like, afraid? Everybody's afraid.
Everybody's afraid.
I'm still afraid. I'm 51. Things scare me, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting up in the morning, I'm like, what's going to hurt when I get off this bed? Something's going to creak.
Oh, I now live in the world of, you know, stranger danger and school shootings.
Oh,
and,
yeah, yeah.
You know, all that other stuff.
Well, yeah. You got a whole new fear at the birth of your son.
Yeah.
That's a whole new fear.
And not to mention the fear of my own inadequacy.
Yeah.
Which, you know, also takes over when the child is born.
I've had that my entire life. The fear of inadequacy.
Let me tell you that ownership of another human being will crystallize that in ways that you can't appreciate until it happens to you.
Yeah. I don't expect it to happen anytime soon. I think I'm going to be all right. I think I'm going to be one of those few people that's population zero.
Nice.
Yeah. We don't need any more Earls. That's what I decided. We could have it end right here. And my brothers, same thing. Population zero.
Yeah.
We'll see. Anyway, who knows? Either that or I've been shooting blanks a long time.
Yikes.
One of the two.
Wouldn't that be a killer?
Yeah.
That was one thing that, like, you know, kind of annoyed me.
What's that? Shooting blanks?
No, like when we were having trouble, you know, having a kid.
Sure, yeah.
So that thought goes through your mind, like, have I been shooting blanks for the last 20 years?
Yeah.
And if so, how much of that protected sex did I not need to have?
Sure. I went in and got a little volume control. I had it checked out. Went and saw the endocrinologist.
Yeah.
Just for fun, I had insurance. So I'm like, why don't I go in and see an endocrinologist, see what he does?
Yeah.
And they give you some pornography. You know how it works?
Oh, I didn't get that.
They give you some pornography, and they're just like, this wasn't like fresh off the rack pornography. This is pornography that was like sitting there. It's pornography, but I'm saying pornography just for comic effect. The pornography was sitting there at least for 10 years.
Nice.
You know, and things were all stuck together. It was just disgusting. And it was in a very well-lit room.
Girls were all wearing leg warmers.
It was in a very well-lit room, and they had
big
like some
earring.
Yeah, they had some like robes around you and stuff. And they're just like, hey, just knock on the door when you're done, you know, knock on the door, and then we'll come in and get it from you. And I'm like, oh, here you go. And like, they came in just like it was nothing, you know.
How long ago was this?
Oh, years ago.
Yeah.
Years ago.
Because let me tell you.
I was in like my early 30s.
Let me tell you what it was in 2018.
Yeah.
Right? I'm given an option.
Yeah.
You can provide the sample at home.
Yeah, yeah.
And race like a maniac to get it to
all put it under your armpit or something. Yeah.
Yeah, cuz you got to keep it warm.
Sure, put it in your belly button.
So race like a maniac to the lab to get it to them.
Yeah.
Or You can donate at the lab.
You have to put it in an actual tube or something, too. You can't just put it in your hand and go.
They give you a cup.
Yeah.
So I go to the lab, which is a nearby medical center that shall remain nameless.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But if you're in Medford Square, you know where it is.
Quest Labs.
I walk in, and there is a woman at reception who has apparently just started.
Yeah.
Is hard of hearing.
Okay.
And does not speak English as her first language.
Oh, my goodness.
And I say, I am here to donate a semen
sample. She was probably messing with you. You know that, right?
No, she wasn't.
Yeah.
She definitely was not.
Yeah.
And I say, I'm here to donate a semen sample.
A little huh-huh. Yep.
What?
Yeah. Anybody else in the room?
Oh, yeah. I'm in the lobby. Yeah. It's packed.
Yeah.
Again, I'm here to
donate. And it's like a general practitioner's office, so it could be anything, right?
I'm here to donate a semen sample.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I am here to donate a semen sample. By this point, everyone in the lobby knows what I'm doing.
Right, right.
And as if that's not enough, she now gets up and goes into the back and she's like, do we take donations of semen samples? Does anyone know? At which
really?
Point, an actual provider comes over and sits her
Talk
down.
Talk about a HIPAA violation right
and,
there.
And says, yes, we do. Yep. Please send him over here.
Yep.
They send me to the bathroom.
Yep, yep.
It's a public bathroom.
Ooh. Ooh.
I'm given a stall.
Ooh.
And when I'm done, there's a little window in the back of the bathroom that you put the sample into so the lab can get it.
Yeah, somebody open up the little window and somebody's smiling on the other side.
So I'm in a public bathroom attempting to provide a sample while other people are coming and going from the public bathroom.
Some of them are really going.
Okay. As somebody who is not a pervert.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a very difficult environment in which to perform.
Yes, yes. Yeah, they make it as cold and uncomfortable as possible. They don't want you staying the weekend, you know? It's not an hourly room. They don't want you out of there in like 5 minutes.
I'm beginning to think about 10 minutes into this that my best option would have been to simply do it in the car and risk arrest.
Yeah.
You know, in the parking garage outside of the medical facility.
Yeah.
And then just walk in with it and be like, here you go.
Yeah.
That's my advice to anybody who finds themselves having to donate a sample at that particular facility.
Yeah, my doctor's
in Medford
like,
Square.
Yeah.
My
endocrinologist
generate
is like,
generate a sample in your car.
My endocrinologist is like, you got some good semen. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
I'm like, geez. He's like, you're fine, man.
Yeah, apparently
he told me I'm fine. He's like, you want to take some testosterone or something? I'm like, nah. I don't want to be ripping telephone books in half. I'm good. It's like, I just want to make sure, just in case, you know?
Yeah.
If I want to start planning anything,
might come up.
It's like I might have a weekend free, plan the fam.
Might find out you need a kidney.
Yeah,
you know?
It was interesting. You know what was funny? I should actually mention this. I actually saw somebody I knew in there, and I'm like, oh my god, and it was a girl, and it was a girl I hadn't seen in years. And the first thing I thought is, what the hell's she doing in here? And it was an endocrinologist, right? So what could be going on with her, right? And I'm thinking something's wrong with the hoo-ha or something.
I don't know.
No,
they do all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's a whole system in your body. There's a lot of different things.
I have to say something. You have, on your headphones, you have a very small yellow ribbon.
I know.
Over your right ear.
I know.
So while I'm talking to you about semen samples, I'm like, this is a little inappropriate. He's got like a cute little ribbon over his ear.
Are you having feelings? Do we need to talk about this? We've known each other a long time.
We're supposed to.
I never thought this would go in this direction.
Like, Derek's got a cute little ribbon over his ear today.
Would you prefer me in pastels?
I have to say, well, it is Easter. I do like pastels, especially this time of year. I like the spring, and I like this time of year because the colors start to come out again.
Yeah.
That's one thing I love about spring, and I like all that gaudy 80s color that we had.
Oh, yeah.
I miss those days of bright colors. I mean, people would come in with like a fluorescent orange coat or a fluorescent green pants, and it was just like, man, the 80s was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do have to say the hardest part of going to the doctor with a sample. It wasn't the semen sample, the endocrinologist. It was a stool sample when I was sick. Oh, my God. That was just god-awful. And when you are sick and you have, like, GI and, like, you know, BM trouble, it's like They gave me a vial that was like, it looked like it could fit a half of an ounce in it. And it had like a little cap on it. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this thing? It's like, do I put it up there and then take it out? I'm like, it was so small, it looked like a little suppository or something. So I take it and they give you like this little spoon. And it looks like, all I can think of is like in the 80s, like a little Coke spoon that people would use for a little toot or something like that. And they're like, we want a stool sample, so take this little spoon and take this little vial and provide a stool sample. And the thing was, is me being sick, I thought, you know, I had, this was years ago before COVID and everything. So you know, I went in there and they thought I had had like the avian flu or something.
Yeah.
And one of the things you say is if you're going like, if you're throwing up and you're coming out at both ends, they will bring you right in.
Yeah.
I mean, you are not waiting in the waiting room. I was in there for like 10 seconds and they're like, put me in a mask. That was the first experience of being like, put a mask on this guy while he's in the hospital because we don't know what he's got.
They don't want that stuff spreading, and that stuff spreads.
And I came in there and I'm like, I literally said to the nurse practitioner there, I'm like, how am I supposed to get liquid into this vial? And I'm like, because that's all that's coming out of me. And she's like, do the best that you can. And I did. I did the best that I can, but I needed at least four towels to clean up afterwards.
Hold it under the stream.
It was awful. Oh, it was awful.
Oh, God.
And it turned out, you know, I had some stomach bug or whatever, but yeah, it was awful.
That's what I'm going to look at the doctor and say, get me a box. I'm going to crap in the box, and then you can figure it out.
I would just be like, get me a coffin, and I'm going to jump in it. I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore.
Yikes.
I'm like, I'm enough of this. I've had enough of hospitals. Anyway, in the background is like the songs of Norway. What is this? This is a Norsk Turog Folkendanse.
Sweet.
Norwegian folk and finger dances. Norwegian folk and figure dances.
Nice.
Number two. This was bought at a gas station in Norway. My friend went to Norway, and he was kind enough to bring back a tape of Norwegian folk and figure dances. I would have liked maybe a beer or some cocaine or something like that, but this is what he came back with. And this one is called Springopolis.
This is pretty good.
It's not bad.
If I walked into a bar they were playing this, I wouldn't be angry.
It says 1981. So it looks like it's two guys, and they played weddings, of course. And other things. Have you ever been to Norway?
I've never been to Norway.
I heard Norway's amazing.
It's big on fjords. You like the fjords?
I think so.
They got a lot of fjords.
What was that?
They got a lot of that rugged coastline.
That Ari Aster movie that you said you didn't really like that much. Midsummer.
Not for beach people.
Yeah.
Well,
is that in Norway? That was kind of like Norway, wasn't it?
I don't know if they ever identify the country that it's supposed to be. It's one of them. It's Scandinavia.
Danish or Swedish.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's coming out with another movie with, what's his name in it? Joaquin Phoenix.
My whole thing about that movie is I liked it better when it was called The Wicker Man.
Yeah, Wicker Man's a great movie.
Because that was a better movie.
Yeah.
And the Nicolas Cage version either. Go back and get the original with Christopher Lee and Edward Woodward.
Yeah, it's awesome. That's what I was going to ask you. Have you seen anything this week? After the Oscars, it's like, are you movied out? Are you still watching stuff?
So
catch up on The Mandalorian?
I did catch up on I'm liking The Mandalorian.
Yeah, me too. I like season 3 a lot.
And I turn on YouTube and everybody's like, The Mandalorian sucks. Mandalorian is failing.
So. Not,
nobody's watching The Mandalorian. I'm
no
like,
no way. Throwing R5-D4 back in the mix?
R5 is great.
He's great.
I thought episode 3, the one that we got last week.
Yeah.
Was the first thing that I've seen from any of this, probably since Rogue One, that I sat there and I watched it and I said, this feels like Star Wars.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
This really feels like Star Wars, and everything about it was right.
The first time I felt like that with The Mandalorian was when the Jawas, when he was going into the fight with the Jawas.
Yeah.
I thought that was just awesome. I'm like, this is fantastic.
But just the whole episode.
And it was more it was episodic, those first few Mandalorians. This one's telling a little bit more of a story, but I guess this week they go off on a tangent and start to talk about the New Republic a little more, and you get to see the Chinese X-Wing pilot there. What's his name? Carson or something like that? Yeah, you get to see him, and I don't know. But it's been pretty good. And I'll tell you something. Picard is fantastic.
Really?
It is like a movie. Mm. It is really good. And I know you're not too much of a Star Trek guy, Picard has been fantastic.
I'm not giving Paramount my money. We're cutting back. I told you, we gave up HBO Max
for Lent. Yeah.
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 So that's almost
I'm going to give up cable after this. I'm just like, this is it. That's it.
Join us in the world of streaming.
I know.
Like, hop on Tubi.
I've got the little Firebox, and it works out pretty good.
You know what I watched last night, and I'm probably going to switch this up for my Friday Night Frights this week, is Laser Blast.
What's that?
You've never seen Laser Blast?
No. No, what's Laser Blast? Is it a game show?
No. It's considered one of the worst films.
You know what a finger blast is?
Considered one of the worst films ever made.
Oh, okay. The 1978 Laser Blast.
Yeah.
It's got, let's see.
It's got Roddy McDowell in it.
Roddy McDowell is in it. Okay. All right.
So,
Dennis Berkeley.
The film was made by Charles Band, and mm-hmm, you may mm-hmm. know that name if you know the Puppet Master movies.
Sure, that was good. Puppet Master was decent.
This is one of his first feature films.
Yep, yep.
And it's, I will tell you, it's nowhere near as bad as people make it out to be.
Yeah.
If you've seen Stunt Rock, I would put this on par with Stunt Rock.
I haven't seen that.
Nobody's calling Stunt Rock the worst movie ever made. So
I saw you did a little review on one of my favorites, Bloodsucking Freaks.
Oh my God,
that is a great movie. Ralphus is a great character.
Ralphus will haunt your dreams.
We saw that. Our science teacher in high school, Mr. Clark, told us to watch that movie, and we were like, "What is this? It is creepy as hell. It's also hilarious, and for the mind of a teenage boy, we just thought it was hilarious.
But it's
super violent too in points and very misogynistic. But it's awesome.
First 20 minutes of the movie are nothing but violence and misogyny.
Yeah, yeah.
And then after that, it settles down and becomes your basic nudie roughie.
Yeah.
But it's a nudie roughie made in 1976.
Yeah.
When no one's making nudie roughies anymore.
Right.
It's like, it's a fascinating little
film. And there's a good budget to it, too.
Ralphus.
Yeah.
Ralphus is one of the best characters of all time. Characters ever.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah. but it's one of those movies that you watch the first 20 minutes of it, and you're like, I need a shower.
Yeah.
I need a shower right now.
It's one of those things where if you're a film buff like we are, it's like you have to be in the right frame of mind for it. You're not going out on date night and watching Bloodsucking Freaks.
No.
You know, you don't take her to Schindler's List either. You go and see a date movie, you know. But there's time when you get some people together, you're going to have a couple of drinks and have a little party or something, little B-movie party. That's a fun one to put on after midnight. You know, that's a great one. You know, what used to play them all the time was the Somerville Theater. Down here, they used to do the schlock around the clock.
Yeah.
They did a 24-hour, and that's where I really started getting exposed to these, you know, 70s and 60s and 50s movies that you'd never heard from before. As a matter of fact, they usually do it President's Day weekend. I'm not even sure if they did it this weekend. It's been years since I've been to it. But I did about at least six or seven of those. And they started, they did 24-hour ones, and they also did some 12-hour science fiction ones, too, which were a lot of fun. And they'd have some obscure movies in there, and then they'd throw in, you know, a modern one from the last couple of years, too. It was great.
One of the things I love about Bloodsucking Freaks is it's one of those movies that you're afraid and embarrassed to tell people that you've seen.
Yeah.
But when you talk about it, you discover that, like, all of the really smart, creative people that you know have seen it and love it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, by no stretch is it a good movie, but everybody's seen it, and they're like, oh, Bloodsucking Freaks, and it becomes this kind of secret handshake.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's see. We're listening to WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. My name's Chris Earls, Derek Gary, and we are here with you until 7 p.m. It is What Is This? We have some odd audio and some serious explanation. We talk about life a little bit in between. 855-915-WMFO if you want to say hello. Derek, do you have anything lined up for us for a little odd audio?
We got to do the PSA thing here.
I got that out of the way at the beginning.
Oh, all right.
So we're good for this hour.
Yep. I got a couple of things here that are interesting. Let's go on an Easter theme.
All right.
And do something with some religious overtones.
All right.
I've had many people to ask me to put this on recording. And we're coming to you for all of you that are present here tonight. Dope gambling, women dancing, deuces wild, coon can and toe. Many pleasures of life for you. But I happen to prefer the snatch. Prestige, honor, money, women. nothing. Irene, Laura, and old gal Sue. I have made up in my mind that nothing is going to stop me from making the snatch. See, I'm not going to fool around here and miss all these women, all these good-looking women. Let me get Laura. Let me have Mabel. And let me get old gal Sue, Fannie Lou, and all I can find. I got to make the snatch. I would just get on out there and get with Marvin Gaye, Jackson 5,